This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Marrone Show. The Jags and the Indianapolis Colts coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone. What's up,
Coach? J.P., how you doing? I'm doing well.
Yeah, the holiday break is over. The Jags went out to Arizona, got a tough loss, but now you get to come back home three straight to start December, and this is where championship football begins this month, right here.
Well, it is. It's exciting, and we spoke to the team, and we're excited to be home. You know, we were on the road the last 2 weeks, going up to Cleveland and going out to Arizona, and obviously we're disappointed, in the results of the Arizona game, and now we come back home in front of our home crowd, an in-division opponent, with the Indianapolis Colts coming in here, which will be a challenge for us. But we're excited. We've had a good week of practice, and we got to practice again tomorrow. But the players have been upbeat, and they're ready to bounce back.
You've been through this before, obviously, with the Buffalo Bills, and with the second time that you face a division opponent. What are the challenges of that second game?
Well, I think normally what you do when you go through the process is you look at everything that happened prior to the first time you played them. The information you had and what you used to game plan, and then you obviously look at that game to see if anything changed or things that you maybe could have took advantage of, or maybe the other team did a good job in changing some aspects of it. And then you look at from the last time you played them, obviously one thing you're going to look at is personnel changes, because obviously injuries is a part of the game. You're going to look at the personnel changes and matchups, which, it's in this league at this time of year, it happens quite a bit. And, it's on both teams. And then you're going to look at schematically, what everyone's doing from the time that they played you till now against things that, maybe are common to what you may do or not do. And then you come up with a different game plan. So, it's tough in the division. I think, every time you play in a division, you just kind of take those records and throw them out because everyone knows each other from a personnel standpoint. And then it's just a matter of going out there on the field and executing on Sunday.
When you guys play, for example, the Colts the first time, do you withhold maybe packages saying, hey, look, let's use this the next time?
No, I don't think you look at that way, because you're trying, everyone when you go out there each week, you're trying to win at whatever means necessary, and you go out there and you do whatever you have to do to win, and then you come back and you come back the next thing and say, okay, all right, what do we have to do? And I think as coaches, we're more tended to be more paranoid about some things, and I think sometimes you can scare yourself out of things in the second game, the second time you play, you play teams. And I think that's where, I think that's the one challenge we have as coaches of overcoming that.
When you put a game together, do you go back? Do you have files? Do you have a file system that you go back to from the previous game, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, basically on coordinators, you have files on coordinators for a long period of time, whether they're with the same team or a different team. I learned a long time ago, actually back in when I was a college football coach, to kind of keep files on coordinators, because coordinators most of the time will move and become coordinators of other teams, and they'll keep the same system. And you try to make sure that you follow that to see what goes on. And that's the same offensively or defensively or special team wise, whatever you do. And then as you get together during the year, especially in season, you're putting files together. Obviously, we spend more time on our in-division opponents during the offseason than we do on, our out-of-division opponents.
It's interesting you talk about having files on a coordinator. I remember when I was a young player in the league, one of my teammates was Bill Pakel.
Mm-hmm. I know Bill.
New York guy.
Yeah, okay? I know Bill.
And
Rutgers guy.
Yeah, Rutgers guy.
Dad was a policeman.
Yeah, yeah. And he was teammates and very good friends with Howie Long.
Yes.
With the Raiders.
I know Howie well.
And Howie kept a book on coordinators. I mean, a player did this. He kept the book on coordinators, and he would try to kind of, after every game, he'd make notes in his little notebook. And it was amazing, and I started to do some of that, and you would have kind of the repeat information. This coordinator, he might have been with this team, but then the next team, the audibles and some of the same were the exact same thing at the different place.
Well, I think now it's a little bit easier now, with the television and the mics and things like that, with the audibles and stuff that you have to be careful of. But I think I know that I I speak to most, you know, when I speak to the players, I tell them, hey, listen, you want to keep a book on the players that you're playing against, you know, of what works against them, what's not, when you study. And I think I see that more through the league now, that you, when you become a student of the game, that you're studying the players that you're playing against, because, you know, obviously, you know, players will move, you know, from team to team, but even within the scheme, they're still going to have the same type of techniques, and the things that give them problems will continue maybe to give them problems as they go on. And, you know, like I said before, I've been around, you know, the players that play 10 years in this league, you know, they pretty much do a good job of making sure they understand, you know, what the league is and the players they play against. And that's one of the things that we tell the players is that, you know, once you get out there and you start playing, that stuff's all on tape. Don't take it for granted that the opponent is not studying all your tape. They're going to know exactly what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and they're going to try to attack you to make sure that you're working on your weakness.
More on this Jags-Colts game coming up. But earlier this week, the Ed Block Courage Award was announced. Aaron Colvin was the recipient this year, voted on by the players. What has he meant to your organization?
Well, we're very proud, you know, of AC, you know, Aaron Colvin, you know, from a couple of different standpoints. One is, you know, I don't think people understand or you know, if they're out there, hopefully I can communicate this the right way, is that, you know, he was battling back from an injury and really missed a lot of the, you know, the preseason training camp where we were trying to get him back. And he was doing a great job mentally of staying in preparation and really focusing on the things he needed to do. And then we started to practice him, and he looked, you know, really good, obviously, in individual drills, and he was ready to go. But we didn't have any snaps of him in the preseason. So, you know, we were kind of going back and forth on, you know, we knew he wasn't going to be ready for the third preseason game. And I believe in the fourth preseason game, we were like, okay, let's get him in there. Let's get him a couple of snaps. Well, you know, we got him 9 snaps, and that's really not a lot of snaps. So, you know, so now all of a sudden the season starts and he goes in there and he's playing well. I mean, he's not, you know, doing anything to hurt the football team, but he's playing well. But, you know, in order to go in there and play well with that limited amount of reps is a credit to him and his preparation mentally to be ready. But then all of a sudden you can see his game has stepped up, and it stepped up very early on in the season. He's really had a very good year for us. I would say an outstanding year. He's really playing well and performing well. And I think that's very difficult to do when you don't have that type of preparation that you need in training camp. So I think it's a credit for him of staying in there mentally and staying in there from a physical standpoint and getting himself ready to go.
That's a positive, you know, because the Ed Block Courage Award back in the day, I mean, with the advancements of medical technology that you have today, I mean, when you used to get the Ed Block Courage Award, you were soon going to be out the door because, I mean, a lot of guys didn't recover from the injuries.
Right, and I think that's the one thing. Like, I was in a locker room, and they were talking about, hey, congratulations for the, you know, I think they were talking to AC, and they were talking about the Ed Block Courage Award, and I think one of the players go, oh, that's not a reward. You really, you know, you don't really want that award.
It, you know, but have that to it.
It does have a little bit of that to it, but I think you got to look at it the other way too, and I don't disagree. It's something that obviously if you can, you don't want to be a part of because you've had to overcome some type of adversity in your life, you know, which is difficult. And but with the players, I think it shows that it's a great example, you know what I'm saying, for a lot of maybe young players or older players or people that aren't even football players, you know what I'm saying, that are out there that, you know, have some type of adversity in their life. And I'm not trying to compare anyone's adversity to another's, but, you know, to be able to focus and come back and be able to perform in whatever you may be doing, I think is just outstanding. And there's a lot of people in our community and a lot of people in you know, obviously the United States, the military, that are going through that all the time. So, you know, I think it's just a way to reward a great example of that.
When we come back, Jags-Colts Part 2. Jaguars defense had a big day in Indianapolis a few weeks ago. We'll break down the matchup against the Colts offense. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We continue with head coach Doug Marrone. The Doug Marrone Show, J.P. Shattuck, Jeff Lagerman, and the head coach. Last time out, a shutout, 10 sacks for this Jaguars defense in Indianapolis. 27-0 was the final score. All Jags D all day in that one. It was – how different is this setup to that one? It's over a month ago. How much does an offense in Indy change in 5 weeks' time?
Well, I mean, I think you got to take the last game and throw it out of the window, you know, throw it out the window from a standpoint of being an in-division opponent. I think if anything, you know, we realize that they're going to come in here ready to go. I mean, when you have a game like that and you're able to, you know, be on top of a team, you know, 27-0, you know, they're going to use that as motivation to come in here, and especially, you know, with the situation we have going into December and being in a situation where we can, you know, obviously make the postseason, you know, they're going to try to come in here and play extremely hard and take that away from us. So, you know, we understand that, and we just got to be ready to go and be ready. But, you know, in 5 weeks, I think, you know, when you look at them, they played quite a bit better. You know, they're much better against the run in the front seven. Obviously, they've had some changes in the secondary, you know, offensively. Jacoby Brissett, when, you know, the one thing he shows on film is that when he's in rhythm, he's ready to go back there. He's in a clean pocket. He can make all the throws and be very productive. You know, he's not throwing a lot of interceptions. Obviously, Frank Gore is a Hall of Fame, you know, type player at the running back position, and Mack is an explosive player for him. So, again, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for us, and we're going to have to play extremely well.
Yeah, with Jacoby Brissett, you know, this is really his first experience playing. I mean, you would have to think that he has gotten better. I mean, young players, when they get games under their belt, they get better.
Yeah, and I think when you're a young quarterback, you know, I think it's very simple, very easy to see in the beginning. I think, you know, obviously T.Y. Hilton was a big part of, and still is a big part of their offense. I don't want to say that, but as a young quarterback, you know, when you have a player like T.Y. Hilton, you're trying to get on the ball, and I think over a period of time, the quarterback becomes more comfortable with other players around him, you know, and obviously, you know, Moncrief is there, but, you know, Philip Doyle, the tight end, has really come on now. He's
Jack,
you know,
Doyle.
Yeah, Doyle, he's really.
Philip Doyle's the former kicker for,
yeah,
Alabama.
I'm sorry, yeah, excuse me, yeah. I mean, he's really come on and has been you know, obviously he's second in the NFL in receptions at 59 and is playing extremely well. So I think when you're a young quarterback and you start seeing the weapons that are around you, you start using them, and that's what Jacoby Brissett's doing, and that's going to be a challenge for our defense.
Yeah, it's very clear that he's very comfortable with Jack Doyle, the tight end. I mean, we look at just from a target standpoint, I mean, he's targeted more than T.Y. Hilton. But the one thing that still remains, T.Y. Hilton is still a dangerous wide receiver in this league.
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. I think he's a dangerous threat, obviously, you know, deep down the field. But I think more importantly, when you look at the receivers, it's after the catch. I mean, you know, all of them have the ability after the catch to take it to the house, which, you know, is extremely dangerous. And we've said it before, saying, hey, listen, you know, they might get their catches. We understand that. But if they do, let's just make sure we get them down right away, you know, and live to play another day, because they have the ability to go 60, 40, 50. I mean, when you look at it, you know, and when they've scored, they've scored on a lot of those short passes that have turned into big plays.
Their offensive line a little bit in flux last week. They were without their starting right guard, Kalis, and so they moved Joe Haig, who had been the right tackle, to right guard, and then they put in the backup, Denzel Good, who had been injured earlier in the year as a right tackle. And question mark about their center, Ryan Kelly, left the game last week with a concussion. And when you have a situation like that and a player with a concussion like a Ryan Kelly, is it something you always look for? You wait for the injury report and say, okay, does it change game plans or anything you do?
I think it's hard to change the game plans when it comes up front. I mean, we've been going through the same situation these past couple of weeks, you know, with two starters out for us on offense. So, you know, I don't really see a potential of people changing those plans. I think, you know, sometimes the center a little bit, I think, can go into that, you know, because normally on most teams, the center is going to make all the calls from inside out. But, you know, we realize that there's going to be a veteran guy available for him, and we feel that, you know, Good will play. He did a nice job last week. Haig will play guard, you know, and then whether Kelly plays or not, we're not sure. But, you know, if not, you know, Pearson will play in there for him. So, you know, those guys have all played together, same with our guys that have played together. So I think at this time, you know, during the year, you're going to have some injuries like that, and you're going to have injuries in positions where you need continuity, where people on the outside look at continuity. And then, you know, obviously in practice and stuff, you got to develop that, and you got to go out there and play, because like I tell our players, I mean, you know, no one's sitting there feeling sorry for you, and you got to be ready for people to try things, like you said, Jeff, you know, or do things to just test your, you know, ability to make sure that you understand your rules and you know how to convert things if they show you something different.
Coach, we'll come back and get into the Jaguars offense against this Colts defense coming up on Sunday. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
JP Shattuck, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone. We continue. The Jags and the Colts coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. Start of a three-game homestand to open up December and stretch run. The Jags offense, I look at the injury report, and I see offensive linemen back on the field limited this week. Omame and your right tackle, Jeremy Parnell, out there getting a little work. That's a good sign.
It is. I mean, they're out there, and they're working hard, and obviously they're working themselves into getting ready to play. So, you know, we have another day of practice tomorrow, and we'll work them out there tomorrow and see how they are, and hopefully we can get them out on the field on Sunday.
A big challenge with this Colts defense, and that a lot of people don't think much of them, but, you know, turning on the film over the last couple of weeks and watching how, in particular, those two defensive linemen, Hankins and, in particular, Al Woods, has been playing – these are two big immovable objects, and no surprise that last week against Tennessee, they only allowed like 9 yards rushing in the first half. I mean, this is a stout group.
Oh, there's no doubt it's a stout group. I think that, you know, obviously it starts, you know, in my opinion, on the outside, you know, with the two outside linebackers being able to point the defense and put everything, you know, getting fed inside to obviously, you know, Woods, Hankins, and Hunt, you know, that are inside. I think they have two inside linebackers that are good downhill physical players. You know, they're going to have a safety, obviously, in the box that's coming down there. So, you know, it's a great challenge. I think they did a heck of a job against a Tennessee team that obviously can run the football very well with two outstanding running backs in the backfield. I think this team is playing extremely hard. I think they've had a lot of you know, moves in the secondary with some players being injured or being hurt. But, you know, it's still, you know, they're playing extremely hard and they're playing very well against the run.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You bring up the secondary, and that the last time you played the Colts, Vontae Davis, who's been released, Rashawn Melvin, who reportedly had a significant hand injury this past week against the Titans, and then that safety Malik Hooker, who was their first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, so now you're looking at a secondary that's going to have three out of the four in base defense that are going to be new.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I think that you know, everyone's playing extremely hard. I think they're getting a little bit of pressure on the quarterback. That's helping them too, obviously, in the back end. But also in the back end, they're playing a couple different combinations of different packages that they have back there, you know, which is they're mixing things up. So, again, it'll be a challenge for us. We just got to do a very good job of going out there and executing our game plan.
Last week in Arizona, there were a handful of drops by receivers for this football team. Nate Hackett talked about it a little bit today in his press conference. It's a balance of you kind of want to get on them, but you can't. You got to keep them motivated the rest of the way. As a head coach, when you see drops happen during a game, where do you go? Where do you start?
Well, I think there was a lot of issues. I think that, you know, I think it's not only just the drops. I think, you know, obviously protection wise, you know, at the end, you know, the clock was going down. We weren't able to change it. They flipped it. You know, we were able to bring some things to speed things up for us. You know, I think that, you know, and then I think it's a combination of a lot of things. You know, being able to protect, being able to throw it on time, being able to get open versus coverage. I think all those things come into play. And I think one of the things we have to do a better job of, obviously, is making those big plays. You know, we've been doing well. We made chunk plays during a drive, which we were able to score touchdowns. And that's something that we've got to get, you know, back on track with, along with, you know, getting the running game going. And we've got to get, you know, both things going in sync, you know, together. And, you know, if they're going to stack the box, you know, we got to be able to make plays on the outside. And if they don't, you know, if they want to, you know, play a defense that's going to really stop for us from making big plays, then we've got to be able to run the football. So, you know, it's that game that we're playing right now that we've got to be able to execute.
And no matter what you do, whether you run or you throw, the guy that keeps popping out on film, Jabal Sheard, the outside linebacker for the Colts, you know, who it's kind of surprising. I mean, he was kind of a low priority free agent. Watching this guy play, he's a darn good football player.
Yeah, I think it's always you always got to be careful when people. You know, I know that I've always watched him for a long period of time, and I always thought he had a lot of juice coming off the edge and things of that nature. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I know the actual sack numbers aren't very that high, you know, high at 4.5, but obviously the pressures are extremely high. And I think he's always shown the ability to do that. And I think, you know, the other person is John Simon that, you know, has done a very good job at the outside linebacker position. But I think he goes in there and they run a bunch of good twists and things with him and really scheme up, you know, what they're doing. So, You know, again, I think they have the ability to put pressure on a quarterback, and, you know, we need to get some of our guys back, and if the guys that we played last week are playing, they're going to have to be able to be stout up front and give Blake some time so we can get the ball down the field.
Yeah, watching the Colts special teams, you know, the one area that I always want to look at to see kind of how good a special teams unit is when you watch punt team, how good are their gunners? And when you turn on and you watch the Colts punt team, and they have a rookie punter who's very good, by the way, but the two gunners on the outside, Chris Milton and Kenny Moore, these guys can fly.
There's no doubt. I think, you know, they're special teams when you look at them. Obviously, when you watch the tape, and all four core units are built on speed, you know, they have outstanding speed there. And I think their specialists are outstanding, too. Obviously, you know, the kicker, the Hall of Fame, you know, player in my mind. And obviously, this rookie has done an outstanding job as far as, you know, his kickoffs and his directional punts and things of that nature. So, you know, we're going to be challenged. And then in our protection scheme, we're going to be challenged both in our field goal and our punt because, you know, they have some bigger bodies on the inside that can cause some mismatches. So we got to be ready to do a good job. But at the same sense, you know, at the same time, we've got to be able to, you know, if we get an opportunity to get a return, you know, both in the punt game or in the kickoff return game, we've got to be able to take advantage of that and flip the field position.
You know, I got to say this. I love watching Jadon Mickens, your punt returner. North and south, love him.
Mm-hmm. He's been doing a good job. I mean, you know, like I always said, you know, if you make good decisions, you know, over the long period of time, and you catch the ball and you can just get up there and get 10 yards, that's one less first down, obviously, that the offense has to get, you know, 10 yards closer to being able to score. So, you know, as long as you can be productive and make good decisions back there, obviously we're pleased with that.
Big picture now, Coach, as we wrap up with you here. Division race, tied for first place. December's rolling along. Championship football begins. Three straight home games. Doesn't get any better than this. This is what it's all about, right? It's fun.
I know, but I'm concentrating on waking up tomorrow and making sure I'm doing everything I can to make sure we have a great practice on Friday and we get this team prepared, you know, and let's win Friday, you know, before we do anything else and look down the road. And I think, you know, for me and what I've been talking to the team every week is obviously this is the third quarter, you know, of the season. This is the last game. We're 2-1 going into this quarter. You know, it would be very big for us to not only win and be 3-1 in this quarter, but again, we talked about, you know, winning in a division, which is also big. So, you know, there's a lot of things at stake right now for our football team. But again, you know, we're trying to keep everything focused. We know there's a lot of talk on the outside, but, you know, it's all talk. If you go out there and you don't do what you're supposed to do on Sunday and you don't do the things you can to win, then the rest of it is really, you know, I don't want to say meaningless, but it's not as important as what we're going to do right now today.
Well, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, winning at home. Yeah, here's another opportunity.
Winning at home, I'm excited. I think, you know, I tell you, when you go on the road, you know, and the fans, the opponent fans are yelling and they're screaming and, you know, it's third down and you have to use silent count and, you know, all this stuff is going on and, you know, it's, you know, you're just like, you know, I can't wait. You know, I kept saying, I felt like I was, you know, Dorothy from Canada. I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to get home. And, you know, we're going to be home now, and I think our players are excited. You know, hopefully our fans will be excited, you know, and they'll come out Sunday and really support and help this football team.
Coach, appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Great. Thank you, JP. Thank you, Jeff.
Head Coach Doug Marrone with us. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JDA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $8. You can use it the next three Sundays at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Head Coach Doug Marrone out of here as the Jags will face the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday. Logs, this is a game the Jags defense should get well, right?
Well,
on paper,
yeah, you would like to think that, in particular because even though Jacoby Brissett has more games under his belt, he still shows, you know, a lot of characteristics. Thank you, being a young quarterback, and what's happened up in front of him has been, you know, not easy for any quarterback to handle. He's had some mix and matching going on. You know, last week Kyle Kallis, however you pronounce his name, the rookie right guard, which is his first time being inactive all season long. And so they reacted to that and took Joe Haig, who has been their starting right tackle, who I think is more of a true guard. They moved him into right guard and then moved Denzel Good to right tackle. And Denzel Good has not been available to the Colts because he's been injured he was last week, and so he got the start. Well, okay, they feeling good about it, right? Denzel good, you know, been around the block a little bit. Sure. Joe Hagan at guard.
Yeah.
Well, then you lose Ryan Kelly, Alabama guy.
That's
Roll
right.
Tide.
Yeah,
okay.
Good player.
Gets a concussion, and he's out of the game, and Person comes in. You have a fumbled exchange issue, which the Colts were able to recover. And then they had a couple high snap issues in the Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, to answer the question, yes, you would like to think that the Jaguars defense can kind of continue some of the things that they did in Indianapolis. But here's the thing. It's hard to replicate that type of a game, even if it's against the same opponent. You know, because, look, they're a prideful group. They're professionals. They're a division team. And they're hungry for a victory. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge to replicate, but I would like to think that you can get similar results on that matchup that you're speaking specifically of.
The Jags have to be motivated, too, on defense, because last week in Arizona, they let Blaine Gabbert hit a couple of touchdowns on him.
Well, yes.
And didn't get much pressure on the quarterback. Gave up 27 points to mm-hmm. end a four-game win streak for this football team. You talk about prideful. This
sure.
defense has some pride, too.
Well, they do. And the Colts, you know, are probably looking at the Jaguars going, hey, look, you know, much like the Jaguars are looking at their offensive line, saying, okay, well, maybe we can get an advantage there because they've got some issues. The Colts are probably looking at the Jaguars' defense saying, well, look, Telvin Smith, probably not going to play. You know, has not practiced yet this week. He's in the concussion protocol. We feel really good about our tight end, Jack Doyle, and we're going to throw him the ball a bunch, you know, because last week the rookie tight end for the Cardinals had a very good day. He's a really good football player. I think he's more dynamic than Jack Doyle is for the Indianapolis Colts. But Jack Doyle has become a very dependable receiver and one that Jacoby Brissett trusts completely. You know, I mean, look at the number of catches he's got, 59.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so the big question mark that I have is how involved will Jacoby Brissett make T.Y. Hilton? You know, because you would expect that Ramsey will be the guy that's going to be matching up with him when he's given the opportunity. If not, look, it's A.J. Boye.
Either
you still,
one.
Still feel good about that.
Flip a coin, right?
If it's on, you know, Aaron Colvin, you feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the one thing I think that has surprised me watching the Colts all year long. There's been, I think, three games to where T.Y. Hilton has been over 100. Now, in those three games, he's actually been over 153. He had a 153-yard game, 175-yard game, and 177-yard game.
We've seen that in years past against this football team.
But
so
he has,
sure.
But he has 21 less catches than the tight end. And if you're, you know, Jacoby Brissett, you got to go, why am I throwing the ball to my tight end when I have that much when I've got T.Y. Hilton?
Well, he might not have much time to throw it anywhere else.
Well, I mean,
the
that,
tight end, right?
That's part of it. And I think also, I think that he doesn't have enough patience, I think, with the route. And you can tell a little bit from T.Y. Hilton's play that he doesn't have the confidence that he's going to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't see this all-out great routes with, you know, great speed. And I'm not trying to question, you know, his level of play.
But you are.
But, you know, as a wide receiver, you know, you gotta get rewarded, you know. And,
sure.
And T.Y.'s not getting rewarded as much as he has in the past when he's had Andrew Luck throw him the ball.
Let's look back at the Week 7 matchup. Hilton was actually the most targeted Colts receiver in that game. 8 targets, but only 2 catches for 27 yards. Doyle targeted 7 times, 6 receptions, 44 yards in that game against the Jags.
Well, and I think he's going to get targeted a lot in this game. He had 2 catches against the Titans for 15 yards total. In the last 2 games, he's got 4 catches for 38 yards.
Wow.
Well, yeah. We're talking about T.Y. Hilton.
He's a great receiver.
Yeah. You know, if the Colts want to win, I mean, you got to throw it to players that can help you win. You know, but the one thing still always remains true when you talk about the Colts. You got to do a good job up front to allow the opportunities to get after a young quarterback. And so you cannot allow Frank Gore to be a factor in the game. Frank Gore has not eclipsed 100 yards all season long as a running back, which is surprising given the fact that you've got a second-year quarterback. If you're an offensive coordinator, Chudzinski, you know, and if I'm the head coach, I'm questioning my offensive coordinator. How can we be in our 12th game coming up? Okay, we just completed 11 games. We have a second-year quarterback at the helm, but yet we don't have 100 yards rushing with a running back who is potential or is a Hall of Famer. Really, I mean, are you not doing the right thing as an offensive coordinator by finding ways to get the ball on the ground and take the pressure off of a young quarterback? And very surprising in my opinion.
We're going to come back, and you're going to tell us, Jeff, how to jumpstart this Jaguars offense. So think about it.
Catch the ball?
You've got a couple minutes to find
it. It doesn't
an
take me a couple minutes to find some answers on that.
This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
JP Shatter, Jeff Lagerman. Doug Marrone joined us in the first half hour tonight for the Doug Marrone Show. I'm going to give you some misleading statistics.
Okay.
Jeff, okay.
What do you got?
The Jaguars offensively are 12th overall in the National Football League in yardage, right?
Okay. I believe so, yeah.
Okay, that's right. No, they're 29th in the pass. And the best rushing offense in the National Football League still.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it last week, you wouldn't think so because the running backs had a combined 16 carries for 29 yards in that loss in Arizona. Blake Bortles was the leading rusher with a big day in the read option and all that. But for a team that wants to be a running football team, when your running backs, three of them, combined for 29, I don't care how many guys are in the box. That's not a good day.
Well, it's got to get better. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I'll go a little bit further than just the last game.
Yeah.
If you look at the last three games, let's look at each of the workhorse running backs. Leonard Fournette, in the last three games, 57 carries, 169 yards, which comes out to be 2.96 yards per carry.
Mm.
Not a particularly strong number.
No.
Because if you compare that to his first six games in which he played, he averaged 4.58. Okay. Now let's look at Chris Ivory. Okay, Chris Ivory, in the last three games, he has 8 carries, 1 yard.
8 for 1?
1 yard.
Wow.
Okay, you know, these are the guys, okay, that are your workhorse running backs. Now, T.J. Yeldon is still a fantastic back, and if T.J.'s called upon, you hope that he can have similar results that he had the last time against the Colts because he had 9 carries, 122 yards, and a touchdown in his first game active on the year.
Yeah.
You know, so you hope that you can get some type of a jump somewhere in the running game. But the simple fact is that the offensive line is not playing quite to the level that they were pre-Leonard Fournette injury, pre-Cam Robinson injury, pre-Jeremy Parnell injury, which is, I mean, look, that's what happens. But they've got to find a way to come back. And I think from looking at the injury report, I think it looks very good that Parnell is going to be back at right tackle. I think it looks good that Omame could end up being available. I would not be surprised if Chris Reed ends up staying at that left guard position. You know, he had a really good performance in Cleveland last week. He struggled a little bit passing the games off in which Chandler Jones was in the backfield. And
yeah, good player.
Yeah, you know, he's a really good player. And the good thing is that the Colts don't have – the pass rushing horses that, you know, they'd like to have. There's no Freeney and Mathis there anymore. As a team, they've got 19 sacks on the season. Okay. The Jaguars have more than that in two games this year.
That's right.
Okay. So that's positive. Mm-hmm. The other positive is that because they lack a great pass rush, that the back end has to hold on to their coverage a little bit longer. And you can see from the numbers that they have had trouble doing that. The Colts have allowed more deep passing yardage than any team in the National Football League, a total of 873 yards. When I say deep passing yards, that's a ball that travels 20 yards in the air. They've given up more explosive plays in the passing game more than any team in the National Football League with 25. They've got more injuries in the secondary. Rashawn Melvin had a hand injury that he incurred on the interception that he made last week, which was his third of the year. They're already missing Vontae Davis, who for some crazy reason they decided to release him. Malik Hooker got his knee torn up against the Jaguars in Indianapolis. So they've been playing T.J. Green, Mathias Farley. Now, who plays now that Rashawn Melvin's going to be out of the lineup? I don't know. I mean, your first reaction is that it might be Quincy Wilson, the second-round pick out of Florida. But he has only played in 81 snaps the entire year. He's been inactive 8 times. You know, so maybe it will be Nate Hairston, you know, who got his first career interception, who was a fifth-round pick out of Temple. But they've got some issues now in the back end, and they're not, you know, put it this way, they're not man beaters up front now. You know, they don't scare you at all. The only guy, and if I was a coordinator, which I'm not, by the way, if you didn't
You're
know.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Really?
But I think the one guy that you definitely want to make you want to make sure that he gets plenty of attention is Jabal Sheard. That's the guy, whoever, wherever he's at. If he's lined up, you know, over Cam Robinson, I would have a running back chipping on him, okay? If he's lined up over on the right side and if Parnell's playing over there, I'd chip him on the way out because he's the guy that can change a game. I mean, he's that good of a player. He's not Chandler Jones, but he's the best they've got. And if you take the best they've got and you nullify him, you have a great chance to expose that secondary for what it is.
You were talking about the big plays that the Indy defense has given up. The last meeting, the Jaguars had 8 plays of 20 yards or more. Now, not all those were deep balls downfield.
Well,
some were.
Six of them were in the passing
game.
That's
right, and some were short and catch and run.
Exactly.
That's a lot of big plays. And for this offense, I mean, that might have been the most balanced attack we've seen for the Jaguars all year.
Well, it was Blake Bortles' best game, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't from a touchdown thrown standpoint because the Baltimore game, I think he had 4, and then that last game against the Colts, he had 1. But he threw for 330 yards. He was efficient, protected the football, didn't have an interception. And if you looked at the drive chart, you know, they scored on the first 4 possessions, and then I think it was every possession with the exception of 1 in the first half had an explosive play in it. And that's what this offense needs to get back to. Now, look, you're not going to be able to play the Indianapolis Colts every week, but, I mean, that's the type of level that you would like to see this offense that likes to run the football to get to, because you're getting opportunities in the way that teams are playing you because they're so much stacking the box trying to stop the running game that there are opportunities in the back end.
We'll come back and get into December football. How different December football is from other times of the year.
Well, it's different, and January is a lot different than December.
We'll delve into it when we return. It's the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We're back. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Scott Kushner filling in tonight for Joe Fortunato, who went under the knife. And all's well.
He's on IR.
It's good. We'll get him back soon. Good to hear. Positive news from Mrs. Fortunato earlier. The Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Pagano is on the hot seat right now. That's fairly evident.
Well, I think the organization, you know, is kind of on the hot seat.
We got a new GM. He's not on the hot seat already, is he?
Well, I think, you know, between – you know, what most fans want to see out of an organization is functional relationships. You know, and the Colts, I think, have a little bit of dysfunction. I mean, Ryan Grigson, we've been saying it for a number of years when he was the general manager there that, you know, he had the good fortune of having the opportunity to draft Andrew Luck, and then after that point he really never did anything. And he never really did anything to help the quarterback out. He was drafting weapons on offense, but you know, one thing you might want to do, okay, when you invest in a franchise guy is, you know, to get some offensive linemen up front to protect them. And they've got a new general manager, but you know, still, because of the owner and Chuck Pagano, and then this new general manager, it just doesn't feel good. And until that kind of starts to feel good, which, you know, it feels better when you win, things will always be questioned in Indianapolis. But an interesting thing happened this week. Chuck Pagano was, I think like it was early in the week, Monday, Tuesday, I was watching his press conference, and he was asked about losing another game at the end of the game. And he actually was funny. He brought the comparison up to Groundhog Day, which Bill Murray
was. The movie, yes.
It was awesome.
Great movie.
Awesome movie. And he starts talking about, you know, and he starts asking all the reporters, did you guys see that movie? You know, okay, one day you wake up and, you know, you jump off a building. The next day you get another opportunity, you drive your car off a cliff. And And he was pulling out some lines. I mean, this guy, I mean, he had it now. I mean, he had the Bill Murray lines, and it was just kind of funny. But, I mean, that's the Colts. I mean, they've had, what is it, I think they've lost, you know, 8 games or however many games it is that they've lost, I think, by very few points. But the reality is that they haven't done anything in the fourth quarter to win the games. You know, their point differential in the fourth quarter is not good. They've had like 117 points scored on them, and they've only scored as a team, I think, 28, which is not very good. Jacoby Brissett has not been a good quarterback in the fourth quarter. He is actually slightly above Blake Bortles, which doesn't speak good things for Blake Bortles, but he has yet to throw a touchdown in the fourth quarter, Jacoby Brissett. You know, so here we have a game in which, you know, two quarterbacks, neither one of them have been very good at crunch time. You know, will one of them be able to rise up, or will the team be able to overcome some of the lack of great performance at the quarterback position in the fourth quarter?
Well, the last time out for the Jags, Blake was doing a lot of this.
Handing the ball
on radio,
off.
Handing it off left and right. Why not?
Well, I mean, I will say this again, JP. Now, Blake, that was Blake's best game. One of his best games of the year, just because of the explosive plays, and the other thing is the way that they called the game. They came out of the box as an offense being very aggressive, and I would be shocked if they don't come out of the gate and have a very similar approach about being aggressive as an offense, with the lack of a great pass rush and all the questions and new players in the secondary for the Colts.
We are hours away from December. We'll come back and get into these December games.
When does December start?
Tomorrow, right?
Oh, it does.
Today's the 30th, right?
Really?
There's 30 days in November, right?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
you're right.
See? Yeah, I know.
You're on it, man.
I'm locked in tonight.
You are on it.
This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Doug Marrone Show for those on our flagship station or on Jags social media and on Jaguars.com tonight, courtesy of Max Hockman. The Jaguars Thursday radio program is next.
Who is this Max Hockman guy?
We've been asking that for years.
I don't know anybody by that name.
The Jaguars get the Colts this week. The Seahawks game has been flexed to 425 on Fox. And then the Texans here at home. So three straight at the bank to start December. Talking to Doug about it earlier, boy, this is what you love, right? December games that mean something. Finally, God, it's taken 6 years, 10 years.
And he give you just a great response?
Oh, he was so. Yeah,
well, no, you know, I'm focused on the Colts.
You're going to win the quarter, JP. Yeah, of course, Doug. Thanks.
But it's
fun, right?
It's exciting. It's fun. And, you know, look, a 3-game home stretch and your last 5 games of the season go, okay, division game, NFC opponent. Division game, NFC opponent. And then the last one of the year, which you're thinking could be the big one now, division game, maybe for, you know, the division crown against
the
Tennessee Titans.
New Year's Eve.
And so, look, it's exciting, and, you know, it's been fun to call the game so far, and exciting games. You know, you want to see, first of all, you know, for this team to be able to take care of business, and it's got to start this weekend. You know, this Colts football team has been struggling. You let a team beat you last week that they were on their third quarterback in Blaine Gabbert. And so I would think that there's a bad taste in some mouths on that one. And not because it's Blaine Gabbert, but just because he's a third quarterback.
Third string quarterback. That's
right. Jacoby Brissett is a guy that wasn't even on the roster of the Colts in training camp. You know, so I think this defense is going to come out and they're going to be ready. It will be interesting to see how well they can play without one of the best linebackers in football, period, in Telvin Smith. Because he is not a guy that you just plug and play the next guy and you don't say next man up.
Yeah.
Because you know what? There is no next man up that can play like Telvin Smith. I mean, no offense to Blair Brown, okay? But Blair Brown, you can tell from watching some of him on the game, you know, he's constantly looking at Paul Posluszny for a little guidance, which is a smart thing. Don't get me wrong.
Better.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because Paul will make sure that he is, you know, squared away on his responsibilities, but he's got to be able to step up and play good.
Our thanks to head coach Doug Marone, Hollywood Max Hockman, Scott Kushner filling in tonight. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm J.P. Shadrick. Stick around. Jaguars Thursday is next on our flagship station in Jacksonville. It's Jaguars Thursday coming up. This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.